Sermon lesson for this, the 15th Sunday after Trinity, is on the book of Psalms, the 146th chapter. In reading the whole chapter, let's stand for the reading of God's holy word. Psalm 146. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord all my life. I will sing praise to my God as long as I live. Do not put your trust in princes, in mortal men who cannot save. When their spirit departs, they return to the ground. On that very day, their plans come to nothing. Blessed he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God, the maker of heaven and earth, the sea and everything in them, the Lord who remains faithful forever. He upholds the cause of the oppressed and gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets prisoners free. The Lord gives sight to the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the alien and sustains the fatherless and the widow, and he frustrates the ways of the wicked. The Lord reigns forever, your God, O Zion, for all generations. Praise the Lord. And then our epistle lesson, actually our gospel lesson. From John, the 21st chapter, reading verses 15 through 19. John 21, beginning with verse 15. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you really love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said, you know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. And again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me? He answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. The third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my sheep. I tell you the truth. When you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, follow me. Here ends the readings for today.
I am guilty. Ashamed of what I've done, what I've become. These hands are dirty. I dare not lift them up to the Holy One. You plead my cause, you right my wrongs, you break my chains, you overcome, you gave your life to give me mine. You say that I am free. How can it be? Yes, how can it be? I've been hiding, afraid I've let you down. Inside I doubt that you still love me. But in your eyes there's only grace now. You plead my cause, to give me mine. You say that I am free. How can it be?
Proceed to probably break every rule that the instructors have regarding how to preach a message today. Because I have something to share with you from my heart. As a congregation, first of all, and for the confirmation students that are here supposed to be taking notes, I'll tell you when the message starts, okay? This first part is not that. I wasn't able to be with you as a congregation about a year or so ago, maybe it's 2 years now, where you celebrated 50 years. But these are some thoughts that I want to share with you. I realize that I am but one of many pastors that have served your congregation, and now you have a new pastor, Pastor Micah Drumstead. And I know that the pastors before us, Micah, and prayerfully after us, I know the pastors before us laid a great foundation here. They held to the Word of God. They exalted Christ. But what is it that I remember? It was 33 years ago that I was installed as the pastor of this congregation. 33 years. What is it that I remember? And if you would just give me just a few moments this morning, I would like to share, and I might have to read some of it. There are times as I've gotten older that emotions will take over. And I don't exactly want that to happen at this time. I want you to hear my heart. What do I remember? Certainly it is you, the people of this congregation. The sheep and lambs that the Lord called us to tend and care for. Together we sought to be a communion of saints where Christ's forgiveness was not only received, but given with just as much grace and mercy and gentleness as was given to us. Together we gathered in homes to fellowship, encourage, and build up one another. Together we assembled to worship our Savior, Redeemer, Jesus Christ, in thankfulness and praise and adoration. Together we confessed our sins and confessed our faith, both in word and in song. In my recollections of, I think of you, every one of you here and in your homes, with gratefulness and fondness. And yet, there is always a lingering question for me. Is it well with your soul today? Is his love for you the greatest and only source of life? Is his blood and presence and cross the sustaining power that guards and keeps you going on your way to heaven? I hope that question never leaves me. But there's one other thing that I remember, and it is Jesus Christ and his faithfulness. It is Christ himself, the Word that became flesh, the only final message of the written Word and Holy Spirit from the Father in heaven. I suppose any organization can exist by its own works and efforts to keep going, like some of the congregations in Revelation. But any free and living congregation can only remain so by the faithfulness of the Lord, who not only established this church with the Word and Spirit, but will continue to preserve it with his Word and Spirit. And as I grow older, more and more do I become dependent upon his faithfulness and his presence. And even though I could not see or read into your hearts and souls, I believe the Lord was gracious and faithful, working deep within as he has promised. Our God is always faithful and true. Always. And the Holy Spirit is always taking of Christ and giving it to his sheep and to his lambs. When I think of you, I cannot help but think of Christ. His love, his forgiveness, working in and through you as a congregation. This is indeed a gate to heaven. And as a former pastor, I simply want to thank you for your love and your prayers over the many years. Thank you for what you were to us as a family. Now I would like to share something with Micah and with the congregation here. And I'm going to have you stand. We're going to read Colossians 1. 24 through chapter 2, verse 3. Colossians 1, 24. Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake. And in my flesh I am filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, that is, the church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God that was given to me for you, to make the word of God fully known, the mystery hidden for ages and generations, but now revealed to his saints. To them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we proclaim, warning everyone, teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. For this I toil, struggling with all his energy that he powerfully works within me. For I want you to know how great a struggle I have for you and for those at Laodicea, and for all who have not seen me face to face, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, to reach all the riches of full assurance, of understanding and the knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures and wisdom and knowledge. Father, these are thy words. Sanctify us in thy truth. Thy word is everlasting truth. Amen. You may be seated. Pastor Germsted and the dear sheep and lambs that we call St. Paul's congregation. It is my prayer that the heart of both pastor and congregation are the same, and that the message of pastor and congregation is the same. And so I have but 2 points this morning. What is the heart of the pastor and congregation? That's number one. What is the message of the pastor and congregation? That's number two. When Jesus addressed Peter about his heart and calling in John 21, he asked it this way: Peter, do you love me? Do you really love me? Do you love me? And I've always thought, what if I turn that question around and just simply said, Jesus, do you love me? And the heart that is overwhelmed by the love of Christ, the congregation that is overwhelmed by the love of the Savior, as the heart that is right. In our text, Paul writes, and sometimes we skip over some very simple phrases which we shouldn't. Now I rejoice in my sufferings for you. For this I toil, struggling with all his energy that he powerfully works within me. For I want you to know how great a struggle I have for you, for those at Laodicea, and for all those who have not seen me face to face. What a beautiful way to express the heart of a pastor. One that has been overwhelmed as Paul. Paul, where did you get that heart? And we can answer that simply from Philippians 3. I had it all. I had the law, I kept it blameless. I had the heritage, I kept it as greatly as I could. But I sold it all. I counted it but rubbish. Why? Because he was overwhelmed by the love of Christ. The one he sought to get rid of. The one he sought to destroy. Loved him so much. That he sold all. It was the pearl of great price for him. It was the treasure in a field. And the heart of any pastor, the heart of any congregation, must be found in the love of Christ. At the cross, and when Paul said, I'm struggling greatly for you. When Paul expressed the very fact that he wished in Romans 9, I wish myself accursed for the sake of my brothers, that they would know Jesus. That's the heart. That's the heart that transcends anything this world would want us to understand or know. And yet it's the one message that the world must know. What about the message? Can we separate the heart and the message? No, we can't. We cannot do that. I've had pastor friends who have told me, well, I kept that separate from my ministry. And I would look at them and say, you can't do that. The message is Christ. How much more clear can it be of what Paul describes it here? This is why I became a minister, a stewardship from God, to make the Word of God fully known, the mystery hidden for all ages and generations, but now revealed to the saints. The riches of the glory of this mystery is Christ. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we proclaim, warning everyone, teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. That's where the hearts are going to be encouraged. That's where the congregation is going to be knit together. That's where the soul is going to reach the full understanding, have the assurance of salvation. when Christ is exalted, when he is lifted up, when he is fed to the sheep and to the lambs. And Micah and congregation, you're a very dear congregation to us. Our family was very small when we were here, young. But it is my prayer that along with Paul and his struggles and the battles within, that Christ would be the motivating factor, the cross, his forgiveness, his grace, his mercy. Oh, yes, we proclaim the law in all its sternness, making us helpless. But then the gospel comes and says, here's your righteousness. You're not going to find it anywhere else. Here's your hope. Here's your life. The pastor's heart, the congregation's heart, the pastor's message, the congregation's message can be summed up in one word: Christ. Jesus. Him alone. And it is my prayer that as a congregation, and Micah, as you begin your ministry here, that you will rejoice in his salvation. Let the people see it. Let them know it. Amen.